I thought I'd talk a little bit tonight about judgment versus discernment, and what that means will become clear. Most of us in our lives have experienced, well, let's put it this way, judgmentalism. The word judgment is a word that comes with heavy pejorative connotations. And we've all experienced in our lives the ill results of being judged unfairly. Sometimes it's because we're judged prematurely. Somebody just, whether we're in a new job or a new situation, and people just look at the first actions and assume that those, you know, early actions represent all of us. So we feel improperly misconstrued. In general, the problem with judging, of course, is that the very act tends to take a few events and assume that it represents the entirety of a human being. So, and we do it ourselves. I think everybody at one point or another has judged somebody that we don't know extremely harshly based on one interaction. For example, you might be rushing to get into a subway and somebody's standing in front of the door blocking it and won't move when you ask. And you think, oh my God, that's such a fucking idiot or whatever. And in that moment, you're taking one action that that person has taken and assuming that their entire lives is a complete waste. And of course, there's a human tendency to do this, and yet we hate it when somebody catches us on an ill moment where we might have done something accidentally, or we did something we didn't mean, or something slips out, and somebody judges that one action as representing the entirety of us. So we really don't like being judged, but we like to judge. And, of course, we've also associated spirituality and religions with this overwhelming, really inappropriate and silly sort of judging of people in terms of moral codes that we think are extremely outdated. The whole, you know, a lot of religions have the whole Santa Claus thing where he knows if you've been naughty and he knows if you've been nice, and that's, you know, all that. That kind of being judged as good or bad, especially most people find understandably repellent. So, we come often to Buddhist practice because we've heard how large a role acceptance plays in Buddhism, and we even hear that in a lot of Buddhist practice there's non-dualism and things like that, and it sounds really good on paper. It's like, oh good, here's a place where I can get away from all that judging and I can just go and be and it'll all be okay. Now, to that mindset, there's both bad news and good news to bring. I'll bring you the bad news first, which is it's not the case that the Buddha didn't have a system of judging. It was, in fact, he posited a very, very meritorious spirituality. When you actually study the Buddha's teachings, there's a very strong sense of discerning. I'll use the word discerning because judging is such a heavy, pejorative, negative feel to it that I'm gonna contrast judging and discerning. So the Buddha discerned throughout his teachings the actions that we take that are what he called skillful and unskillful. And he tended to discern or put every single action into those two categories. So there is actually in the Buddhist thought a lot of duality, a lot of skillful versus unskillful. But in very, very many ways, it's extremely different than the kind of judging that we are used to and we, of course, are resistant towards. The biggest difference, if I was going to summarize it in a very simple way to digest, is in the West, when we judge, we tend to think that we're placing an identity upon the person that we judge. We say, this person's good, that person's bad, this person's nice, this person's not nice. And we make this judgment globalizing, which means we believe that everything they do from here on, for the entirety of their lives, is trapped in this very reductive, simple statement. They're good, bad, funny, not funny, nice, not nice, happy, sad, angry, calm, whatever. We judge and we tend to believe that people are always going to be that way. When we judge ourselves, when we say, oh, I'm good at this, I'm bad at that, we tend to believe that will always be the case. So our judgments have this finality to them. Not only are they globalizing, where we tend to believe that they stand for everything we do, but we believe we're trapped, that we'll never be able to escape these things. We tell ourselves things like, I'm bad at math, but I'm good at English. Or I'm bad at English, but I'm good at math. Or I'm bad at singing, but I'm good at art. Or I'm bad at art, but I'm good at poetry, or whatever. And because of these judgments, these statements, these what the Buddha called Sakkaya Ditti, these identity views, we're trapped. We feel we can't get out of this. And that if we do, if we have a story about ourselves like, oh, I'm not athletic, and we have a day when we are athletic, we think, well, I was unlike myself that day. I'm normally an unathletic person, but today I just felt like riding my bike or whatever. Ha ha ha. So you see that there's this really sort of feeling of being trapped by judgments. It's extremely different from the Buddha's perspective. The Buddha, as you might have heard, if you haven't heard this, the Buddha didn't believe that there is anything as a lasting identity or lasting self. He actually stated that if there is such a thing, you'll never be able to experience it or find it or point to it. That, in fact, all we are a series of actions that we take, thoughts we think, words we say, actions we take, that have repercussions or results. That's karma. That's what's called karma. So our actions, our thoughts, our words have results. And that's it. The whole issue of identity, who am I really, what is myself, all that shit, he didn't care about. When he was asked about it, he was asked by Malunkyapada, where can I find an identity? What is my identity? And the Buddha said, don't go there. Don't go there. Because when you look for identities, when you look for this view on yourself, what happens is you are trapped. If you feel you're good, then you will never notice the times when you make mistakes. If you feel you're bad, you'll never feel that you can change and accomplish and become happy and skillful. So any identity view is a trap. Don't go there. Instead, look at every action you take in terms of what are its long-term results. Not short-term results, but long-term results. For example, taking a hit from a crack pipe. I guarantee you're going to feel good in the first 20 minutes. Or at least most people will. But in the long term, it's going to separate you from your cash, your self-esteem, and you'll wind up dependent, more than likely. So the long-term results of that action are unskillful. That's what an unskillful action is. It's an action that in the long term makes your life or the life of people around you worse. It's that simple. An unskillful action is something that is going to make your life or the lives of people around you worse, especially your mind. It's going to make your mind a worse place to live in. So each action, each thing you say, each thought, is like a little seed. Not all of those seeds will come to fruition. Some of them may not. But a lot of them, if you plant a lot of, seeds that are skillful, in the future you will live in a much more comfortable mind. In general, the skillful actions, the ones that pay off in the long term, are harmless ones. Ones based on gratitude, generosity, goodwill, patience, forgiveness, all those things that are pretty universal to all spiritual paths. The difference between other spiritual paths and Buddhism is that the Buddha said, in the end, no action or series of actions define who you are. That at any point in your life, you can free yourself from tendencies or habits that have caused you suffering simply by starting to take actions, focus on thoughts that in the long term will bring peace to you. So you're not trapped. You've never been trapped. So when the Buddha discerned or judged, he wasn't judging people. He wasn't judging identities. He was simply judging actions. So when you judge something that you do, never make the mistake, if you want to practice this spiritual path, of saying, well, today I said something mean, I'm a mean person. Don't go there. Where we stop is simply we say, oh, that thing I said, I don't really like the way it makes me feel now. So that's an action I want to avoid. And that's it. Because of that, Buddhists are do incredible service to people who are in prison, because we don't believe that anyone is trapped by any action that they've taken. We also avoid beating up on ourselves at all costs, because that shows that we haven't really seen the point, which is, again, to simply view actions in and of themselves, not representing who we are, simply representing seeds that have results. And we decide, oh, okay, when I think this thought, when I say these words, when I take this action, is it skillful or is it not skillful? A couple of final points. First is that because we're simply judging actions and not core identities, we don't have to bring all this emotion into it. We can be detached and we can say, oh, you know what? I'm looking now and I'm seeing, like, when I was really caught up in feeling upset about being treated unfairly and I was repeating the story over and over and over in my head, I don't have to get worked up about that. I don't have to get worked up about the mistakes I've made or the mistakes that other people have made. I can simply see, oh, okay, don't like the results of this. Going to try something different. There's no need to get this whole fear or this whole, feeling of outrage that we so often bring to the whole judging thing. When we discern, we simply see actions in and of themselves. We also, when we do this, we assume from that everybody has in them both all the possibilities. We all have in us thoughts that are skillful and thoughts that are unskillful, thoughts that are angry, thoughts that aren't angry, thoughts that are harmful, thoughts that are unharmful. We all have the entirety in us. The difference is that as we start to learn which thoughts, which actions are more skillful in terms of they bring about a mind that we feel more comfortable being in the future, we can change by simply remembering, reflecting, noticing, practicing awareness and appropriate attention to become more choosy about what we do. There's nothing extremely spontaneous about the Buddha's teachings in the sense that when he taught his son Rahula, when Rahula was 8, and Rahula came to his father, the Buddha, and said, I'd like to have a teaching from you. And the Buddha said, okay, I'm going to make it really simple. I'm going to make my entire spiritual path really, really easy for you. Before you take an action, before you say anything or start focusing on any of those thoughts that are occurring in your mind, or you do anything, just ask yourself one question. Do I think this is going to be harmful to myself or other people? Or do I not? And as you watch, as you take the actions, keep noticing if it causes harm to yourself or others. And then afterwards, ask, did it cause harm? And if you notice that you caused harm, rather than beat up yourself, he said to his son, simply find somebody who's wise, who you can trust. Go to them. Acknowledge that you've undertaken an action that you don't want to do again, and then move on. That's it. There's no need to think that you're going to be punished. You're lucky because in Buddhism there is no God. The person who's in charge of making their mind the best possible, calmest, most peaceful place to be is you. There's nobody else going to do it. You are the author of your own happiness and your own suffering. Sure, there are times in life when parts of our happiness or suffering is caused by traumatic external events. But the Buddha said, if you look over the course of a human being's life, the bulk of their suffering is caused by the way they think, talk, and use their actions. The bulk of our suffering is caused by ourselves, and the bulk of our happiness is caused by our skillful actions. Our skillful actions, again, there are 10 recollections or reflections on what's skillful, and I'll talk about them another time, but in general, feel safe doing things like practicing goodwill, forgiveness, generosity, gratitude, a sense of reflecting on skillful things you've done, reflecting on any virtuous moments when you refrain from hurting someone when you could have, when you wanted to say something hurtful but you didn't. Reflect on peace that you've attained during spiritual practice, yoga, exercise, any times that you've achieved peace in your life. So those are some examples of skillful actions that are always safe to undertake. And that's tonight's topic.